Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy. A home is supposed to be a place of peace, of solace, a place you can go to and feel some comfort. God knows, over the last many of weeks, months, many of us have either been fully realizing that, maybe even getting sick of the comfort, while I'm sure we're also going to get a litany of stories of people who are in their homes and realizing just how uncomforting they are and why maybe they were getting out quite a bit prior to all of the world's events. What do you do when the home that you live in is anything but comfortable? No matter how much you want it to be a place of safety, of comfort, of peace, that there's something else there that wants that peace for itself. And you are the one that's being the distraction. You are the one that is causing the disruption in their world. Got to think that might be how they view it. This is We Do the Exact Opposite. Today we got two stories of haunted houses. Houses that are very much alive with more than just its living residents. In our first story, a child sees a spirit of another boy peering through the patio door early one morning. That's how it all starts. Who is that child, though? Friend or foe? And all the other characters that are met on that journey. Then, a teenager is tormented by entities invading his room night after night, eventually forcing him to move from his family and the place he so desperately wanted to call home. How much was mom and dad aware of what was going on all the years later when he looks back on it? Two great stories today in EPP bonus episode number 297 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Not wanting to feel alone. Each of us in our own way has a desire for that. Whether it be physical social contact with someone or just knowing that there are other people out there like us. In our way of thinking. In our shared experiences. Especially when we experience something that many would consider not common. Paranormal, if you will. If you have those experiences in life, especially if you're a kid, quite often those experiences are kind of brushed away or you're told, oh, it's nothing, or it's, you know how parents can be. And sometimes for good reason. They want to freak the kid out more than they already are. But sometimes just realizing that, okay, I'm not crazy. This stuff has been happening. And realizing that others around you have had those experiences too is a very powerful thing, very therapeutic. And that's what makes you feel not alone. On our next story, we have someone who has been going through that. Ended up joining a paranormal group in adulthood to not feel alone. Not necessarily to be surrounded by other humans, but to realize that these other people believe they've had experiences too. And also in listening to our podcast, having a very therapeutic experience as well, discovering that, yeah, they're not alone at all in the experiences that they grew up with. Very paranormal experiences. Take a listen. I grew up in Weymouth, a seaside town on the south coast of England. The town is known for its beach, Punch and Judy, ice cream, and fish and chips. It's been a tourist destination since the 18th century, and since then, people in the summer months have descended to our little town in droves for their holidays. The town was founded in the 1200s, but the history of the place dates back further than that. Ancient Bronze Age burial mounds, ruins of Roman villas, Viking and Saxon graves pepper the countryside. Weymouth, since its establishment, has seen its fair share of troubled times. In 1348, a boat landed in the harbor. More than just the sailors disembarked. Rats came ashore, rats carrying the plague. Locals succumbed quickly to the growing epidemic, which was labeled the Black Death. It went from Weymouth to the rest of England, killing untold thousands, some say around a third of England's population. Since then, it's seen civil war and rebellion. After the quelling of one rebellion, an infamous judge, Judge Jeffreys, instructed to erect a hanging gallows by Weymouth Beach, where the 12 men he sentenced were hung, drawn, and quartered. Their body parts were meticulously placed on buildings around the town to warn the residents not to step out of line. These buildings still stand today. As for the area of the hanging gallows, it's a beautiful garden with beach huts and an ice cream stand overlooking the sea. In the 20th century, buildings accommodated injured and maimed Anzac troops after the horrors of the First World War. And during the Second, the town was under attack by the German Luftwaffe trying to bomb the local torpedo factory. In 1944, many of the lodging houses and hotels provided accommodation for American troops who then went off to France during the D-Day landing invasion of Normandy. For many, it was their last sea voyage they made, and Weymouth Harbor was the last port they ever saw. As a kid, all this dark history seemed to be from another world, far from the one where I was making sandcastles with my bucket and spade, swimming, and eating too much ice cream. I lived with my parents and two brothers in a Victorian terraced house. Nothing out of the ordinary. A brick building built in the late 1800s on reclaimed land behind the beach. We moved in when I was 5 back in 1983. My early memories of the house seemed fine. I was playing with my Transformers, arguing and playing with my brothers. Generally happy times. Unfortunately, things later changed. My first experience was when I was 12. I'd wake up early in the mornings before school to go downstairs to watch cartoons, and for some reason, they put the Flintstones on around 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd sit on the sofa, volume low, and eat my cereal by the glare of the television in the dark. At that time, I had no reason to be afraid of the dark. It felt cozy, even. It was a nice feeling to curl up and watch the box in peace and solitude before the madness of the day ensued when my two other brothers were awake. One day, I sat on the sofa, a bowl of cornflakes in hand, doing my regular routine, when for some reason, I was drawn to look out the window that leads to our little backyard. At first, all I could see was a dark blue gloom of dawn reflecting at me. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a pale face flashed into the existence on the other side of the glass. The face was a boy, a few years younger than me. It was completely white and had the look of surprise on its face, as if I scared him. The boy made a gasping sigh as if I made him jump. He disappeared as quickly as he came, not stepping away from the window, but evaporated in a blink as if someone switched off the light. I still can remember the boy's face vividly, even though the ordeal lasted no more than 3 or 4 seconds. After staring confused at the darkness beyond the glass for a few more minutes, I turned back to watch the television, although I could not concentrate. My brain entered what I call the does-not-compute mode, which I have experienced several times in my life since. The backyard is flanked by 2-story terraced buildings on both sides and a 6-foot-high wall which separates the yard from a neighbor's back garden. To get to our yard, you'd need to break into the neighbor's garden, use a ladder to climb the wall, use it again to get down into our yard, and this doesn't seem possible for a small kid to do. The strangest thing racking my head, though, was how it just disappeared. 1 second he was there, the next he was gone. By the process of elimination, I took away all the implausible and was left with the only thing it could be, which was still very implausible. I just witnessed an apparition, a ghost, That wraps up the preview portion of EPP Bonus Episode number 297 of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the full episode and what happens with the rest of the story, become an extra podcast person. That's a supporter of our program. You go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For your support in exchange, you get access to our almost 300 bonus episodes, jam-packed with the best ghost stories you will ever hear. You also get access to our audiobook and our ebook, both Amazon bestsellers. Those right there are $30 value. $5 to become an EPP. To get all of that and advanced episodes of the program too, all those commercial free. So we pump out the content to you left and right and make that $5 as worth it as we possibly can. If you like our program, please consider supporting it and allowing us to stay on the air. You guys are what makes this program possible. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.